Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, please like the show, review the show, rate it, hit the little subscribe button if you're on YouTube, all of those good things. Make sure you don't miss future episodes, just to support what I'm doing. Been providing you guys weekly content for 6.5 years. Appreciate a little bit of support. That would be great. It would go a long way. And we've got a great episode here coming up here. I've got a special guest, actually a repeat guest, which I have not had very many of. But I'm going to, before I jump to introducing the guest, I want to paint a little picture for you guys of some things that are going on in the world of appraisals. And this is not just going to affect realtors. This is going to affect the general populace. And of course, appraisers themselves are going to be greatly affected as well. This is going to have a ripple effect in the entire market. And I think I'm very curious specifically the effects that it will have in Greenville, which will be, I'm sure, quite a few. Now, here's kind of where I'm going with all of this. For a while, we've been hearing, and I've been hearing, and a lot of people have been hearing rumblings that there's major changes coming to appraisals. But for the most part, it's really flown under the radar. In fact, I heard someone on the South Carolina Real Estate Commission recently say that he just recently heard about this just a few weeks ago. And if you don't know much about the South Carolina Real Estate Commission, their whole job is to protect the general public and real estate transactions. So if it's flying under their radar, it's flying under a lot of people's radar. And it's something that is definitely worth discussing. And it really wasn't until I sat in a session on UAD 3.6, which is what this next iteration of appraisal standards is being called that we're going to be talking about today. I sat in on a session about this a few weeks ago and realized, okay, this isn't just a small thing for the industry. This is actually a big thing that needs to be discussed. And there's a whole lot more information that just needs to get out there. So a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to my appraiser friend, Chris White, who has been on the show a few times. Well, not a few times. After today, it will have been a few times. But Chris has been on the show before. He's a heck of an appraiser. He's a good friend of mine. In fact, I told my mom that I was going to be interviewing an appraiser for this show. And she said, "Don't you dislike appraisers?" And I was like, "Well, Chris is an exception. Chris is a good guy." So, Chris, thank you once again for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I listen to pretty much all your shows. So I'm not only my repeat guest, I'm a fan.
Well, I appreciate that.
You have a unique perspective on the data part of it, and you have to have a special talent and nerdiness to really dig into that stuff, and you do a really good job with it. So
my level of nerdiness knows no bounds.
If mine either.
You need to see me in front of one of my complicated board games, and then you'll fully appreciate the level to which yeah. I can nerd out.
My wife always jokes me. I spreadsheet out vacations, whatever it is. I have it in a spreadsheet. we've been discussing it, and really dovetails about 3.6. The whole point of what's going on in the appraisal industry is really being dictated by Fannie Mae. And as you know, if you're aware of this, and I know we have some consumers as well, some customers of real estate that listen to you. So not to dumb it down, but if you're getting a loan on your home, you're getting a mortgage on it, more than likely it's going to be sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or something like that. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's well over 90 if I remember correctly. So they pretty much dictate how valuation is done and what kind of terms it's done under.
Yep.
And that hence the new version of this. And it's all really going to be really focused on data mining for the sole purpose of using AI to make some decisions and to have a better perspective on valuation of houses in terms of lending money on them, to further strengthen their position, to make sure that they're making good financial decisions on their mortgages. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, but at the end of the day, no matter how good a borrower you are, if your house is worth less than what you're paying for it, it's never a good position for the bank to be in. And for the purpose of this conversation and appraisals, this is what we're going to talk about is bank appraisals, and how it affects the bank. The other side, and understand this, that UAD 2.6 which is commonly, known as the 1004 form. There's several different other forms that Fannie Mae has for different products, such as, duplexes or income producing or mobile homes or condos or whatever they be. All of that's going away, and it's all going to be done through this new form 3.6. But the thing is, the valuation's not changing at all. How we are essentially going to look at a property and do it for risk management for the banks is not changing at all. All really that's changing is the form. And it, like I said, it's all dictated by the fact that we've made, quantum jumps in data and how we look at data and how we analyze data within the last 5 years. When I first started doing this, we used to have to, take a photo of it and then go have it developed and then put in an appraisal report and deliver it to the client. And then they came out with Polaroids and we're like, oh, hot diggity dog, this job's easy now. Now we're in a point now where you can pretty much do the whole thing from your iPad. That's where the focus of this comes in. So the number one bullet point to tell everybody is it's not changing valuation at all. It's just changing the way the data is going to be delivered to the client, which is the end client being Fannie Mae or whatever bank happens to be there if it's not Fannie Mae.
So
Now,
what do you say to the person that they just heard you say that they're like, okay, so my house is going to be worth after this form comes out, which you told me pre-show that the mandatory implementation date is what, November 2nd, I think.
correct. That's Monday, November 2nd. There's actually you may they may do it now. It's usually right now they're sending out in bigger markets. And there's in typical fashion, this is something that has been punted down the road for a few years, and this is like the last time it's Fannie Mae's kind of drawn a line in the sand and said
Sure.
everyone get on, but this is it. And there the soft and this is a colossal change in terms of the world of appraisal software, how things are done, and delivery of it. So it's been a very stiff form, and now it's going to be very fluid. And as a result of that, it's not just a change, it's a complete revolution. And as a result, a lot of these software companies and a lot of the lender side of it, they're frankly not ready yet. And there's going to be a distinct, in my opinion, a distinct slowdown when it becomes mandatory in November about getting your appraisal reports back. And that's a bullet point you want to from a real estate agent standpoint. From a consumer standpoint, it's one of the things you want to kind of keep in the back of your mind. If you're under contract on November 2nd and you send that thing over to the closing attorney and then you call the mortgage guy up and say, hey, we're going to order the appraisal, and they order it on November 2nd, it's going to be done on a 3.6, which means if you're trying to close in 30 days, it might cause some issues because I don't know how this is gonna go. There's several different industry scuttlebutt that they're like if you look around an appraisal conference or our peer group, like I'm one of the younger dudes and
I don't doubt that.
not young. Okay, I'll
Yeah.
be 56 this year. So as a result, there's a lot of guys that are just like it's not worth it for me for the portion of lender work that I do to get compliant with this. And we're already kind of, the good appraisers are kind of already at capacity as far as
Yeah.
volume is concerned. So now you're talking about doing a turnaround of 7 days to maybe 14 days for just an appraisal. And then you talk about now it has to go through the underwriters. Now it's got to go through the AI underwriting. Now it's got to go through all that other stuff. And they're training a whole new generation of underwriters on this as well. So, there's just going to be a gigantic lag at the beginning part of it that's going to really affect people as far as the closing dates are concerned. I think, that's my suspicions is that I mean, honestly, personally, I am probably going to be one of the guys. Now, Fannie Mae has told us we're doing this, but as of right now, FHA, Rural Housing, and VA are not making it mandatory. So for me, I probably will step back in November and see how I can get good at what I need to get good at, and not maybe just say, well, I won't take any conventional loans right now and just do the government stuff or do pre-listings or whatever other non-lending work I can find. And then in the meantime, train myself so maybe at the turn of the year that I could be good. I personally don't want to walk into this and spend 6 hours on my first one when it's the time crunch is on an actual
Yeah,
consumer.
for
It's
sure.
not, I don't think it's going to be fair to do that. And I want to make sure if I sign my name to it, that I'm 100%, I know what I'm doing with it, and it's not a fly by to see your pants kind of thing. So,
Well, do you think a lot of appraisers in our area are going to do that? Because if that happens, then conventional loans are kind of
yeah, that's
you're going to have some
it's
issues.
kind of been my banter I've been carrying around doing these things is, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I can't speak for them, but we've got a, in my experience, we have a high percentage of good appraisers in the upstate of South Carolina. There's a lot of guys and gals out here that really are good at their job. And they're on the proactive side of it. And a lot of it has to do with their coalition and stuff like that. We would try to keep abreast of all these things. I mean, to my knowledge, I'm one of the only guys out there, kicking MLSs and going, hey, you guys need to be aware of this and not just, I want to be proactive with it so
Sure.
we can be on the same page. Because if you stop selling houses and I don't have information that I need to do my job, then it's going to slow down the whole process. And if you stop selling houses, then I have to go work somewhere else, and I'm too old and stupid to do anything else. So
I'm
this
the
is
same
what I
way.
want to do until I don't want to do it anymore, and that's not anytime soon. So we have to come up with a solution for that. So being on top of this now, when you're listening to this podcast, what you have to also understand is this is good. It's a colossal 100%. We need to be on board with this, but it's not going to affect your daily life. Other than the bullet points we're going to go over today, but you need to be aware of them because if you're on the front end of it, you could gain business by this. You say, hey, all this stuff's going on. There's people that are proactive and there are people that are reactionary. And the reactionary people are always left out of the loop, and you can lose customers if you're reactionary. So
Absolutely.
if you're listening to the podcast, you listen to this podcast, don't the sky is not falling. There's things you're going to need to adapt to. Life changes. This is a change. And if you're on top of it a year from now, I think this is going to be one of the easiest, best things we could have done for the industry because it's going to take a lot of subjectivity out of the appraisal report. It's going to take a lot of confusion out of it. It's going to be easier to read on a consumer standpoint. I mean, let's be honest, Dan. When you get an appraisal report in, here's what you do with it. Crap. Or
Yeah, right.
yay, there's
Yeah,
57 pages of data in
that's
there.
right.
There's analysis all day long.
I had one client one time that got angry about a high appraisal, and
Why?
because he was like, "I paid for this, and this is garbage. This is the market would not pay that price."
Well, then
And
he had it. Yeah, that he should be. Not that it's high, but it's crappy appraisal. It just happened to be high. Yeah, I get it.
Crappy appraisal in his
Yeah,
opinion.
crap.
I don't
Yeah.
know if it was or not, but
Yeah.
yeah.
But that's what most people do with them, especially on the even from a consumer perspective, you get the report and you're like, sometimes they don't even look at them. They're just like, the lender will go, okay, you appraised. And they're like, what did it appraise for? Oh, a contract. All right, cool. Next step. It's
That's
like,
right.
that's all there is to it. And there's so much more that goes into it. And at the end of the day, we're here to protect our client and the consumer and the industry as well. If we weren't here, it could have potential disaster. Economically speaking,
For sure.
it's a safeguard for sure. So, to start from the top, you absolutely, we have to absolutely know that the valuation side's not changing. What will change is how long it's going to take to get back to you. Okay. And as we get good at this, listen, I've been doing this is my 23rd year, I think, and this is the first time they changed in the 2 decades. The form. It changed right before I started, and then it's changing now. So 25 years, basically, two and a
Crazy.
half decades, we've been doing the same thing. So this is needed. Have you ever looked at an appraisal report and you can't find something? Or
Oh,
for
yeah.
instance, you're like, oh, it says my house is 2,000 square foot, but it's 3,000 square foot. That's because you have a 1,000 square foot basement and it's on a line below it, and it doesn't look anything like the line above it. So it's just confusing to everybody. The only people that really know how to read it are the people that read them every day, like underwriters and stuff like that. It is confusing. This one's going to be a lot less confusing. You'll see something like say living room, and it'll say condition good, and it'll say updates, and then it'll have pictures right there, so you can kind of get a good picture of whatever's right there. You don't have to go hunting through a report to figure out what he said here. All the subjective language is going to be gone. The commentary is going to be very minimal, and it's going to be very data driven.
So
Well,
can you give some examples of some of these things you're
yeah.
describing?
Yeah. Like for instance, like we're gonna have to know like for instance, mitigation features, what kind of hazards that if you are you in, does it have flood vents? Does it have storm shutters? Does it have All that kind of stuff. Now, will it make any impact on value? No, but these are things that are going to be in a report. Renewable energy components, they're solar. And MLS doesn't do a good job with this right now anyway. One of the number one pet peeve with real estate agents right now, and if you're listening to this, please change how you do things, is how what we do is we misuse the members' remarks section. So what we do is we say remarks, syndicate remarks, and member remarks. Those are the three things we have to fill out. And 99% of the time, they're just copied and pasted from one or the other. There's no additional information on any of them. What the member remarks is supposed to be is that a non-published, non-IDX feed remarks that are made that are not public to everyone else, but are integral to the property. For instance, if you walk into a house and it smells like pet odor, and you know that has an effect on the marketing of the property, but it's not something you really want to advertise. You could put it in the member remarks and it says, hey, this closed 10% less than the rest of the houses in the market because there was a huge pet odor. Or, hey, whatever that, it could be good things too. It could be the list of upgrades and stuff that the guy had. That could be in member remarks. I mean, that stuff usually likes to be, you like to market that thing, that portion
That's
of it.
right.
But, the member remarks would be very helpful for us as appraisers if you could kind of just mention things that might be integral to us in evaluation. Like, hey, this was a nasty divorce, or they wanted to really, anything that would be pertinent to why something is or isn't, better or worse than it should be. Other areas that you want to be noted of HUD certifications, where they are. A lot of times, I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but real estate agents will market mobile homes and not know anything about mobile homes.
Yeah, of
They
course.
won't know where the HUD certifications are. They know what the data plate is. Those
Yep.
are all things we're going to need to know on a front end. Accessory dwelling units is another one that's going to, and why? Because they're more popular now. And if you don't know what an ADU is an accessory dwelling unit, which is like a subservient living space to the property. It's not a whole nother house. It could be that's smaller, but it's an area that could be used as secondary living quarters that has all the, has a bedroom, a living room, heating and cooling, and a kitchen, and all that stuff. Those are gonna that that's a, if anyone wants to know about all that stuff, and that's good because right now we don't know what has we call things different things in the MLS. We don't know what they really are. They're entered in different ways, and we have to guess at the overall, if it's an ADU or whatever, we have to guess at it. And then once we guess at it, we got to figure out what the contributory value is.
Have you mentioned or said something? It sounded like maybe you had spoken to some of the MLSs. Have you like had meetings with MLS committees locally here?
Yeah, actually, all senior leadership from GGR. And the two at that was Spartanburg Association of Realtors as well. And by the way, when I was there, I happened to mention that we have too many MLSs. That's one of the things that makes things hard now
Yeah.
is there's you have people listing things in Spartanburg.
That's not going to happen unless one of them goes bankrupt.
Well,
That's the only way it's
it's
going to
my
happen.
goal to at least have them combine information post-closing.
Sure.
I understand that it's a business. I understand it's a revenue source, but from your perspective, looking up comps and doing research, my perspective as an appraiser, if we could automatically shoot each other back to the closed sales so that you don't have to go back and forth, it would be monumentally more. I have to do double work now. And if I'm working in an area like Piedmont or where they have Western, which is a completely different MLS, it's just problematic. But to answer your
Sure.
question, yes, just a couple of weeks ago, me and another appraiser, Erica Ward, had a sit down with the leadership of GGR, and we went through a presentation that this is the stuff that's going to need to change. And they are actively going to be changing the MLS in Greenville to accommodate 3.6. Now, I don't know how that's going to transpire because I understand coding side of that is a pretty big task
Yeah.
to change boxes and do you're like just add a box. It's not that simple when you're talking about an animal like MLS. But for starters, I suggested number one, we use the members remark section more efficiently. And number two, how about we add all the stuff that appraisers are going to need in this form of a checkbox list or something like that to the associated doc section so that we can go through all this thing. Like one of the other things we're going to need to know, For instance, is the distance, the height of the front door from the ground. Now, why do I need to know that? I don't have the answer that to that, Stan. I don't know why they think that's important. I think it has to do with floodplains or something.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I don't know, but that's one thing we're going to have to look at in every appraisal report and all that stuff. So there's just little nuances, and there's a
So
I don't.
what's going to happen if you pull up comps or yeah, are you going to have that for all the comps that you're pulling up?
Yeah.
And so what happens if you don't have that?
Then you check unknown, and then they get slowed up.
Okay.
Anytime there's unknowns, so I don't remember the exact how I took a couple classes, and but there's roughly 10 times more data points on this form than there is currently, and I think there was something like 200 on this form. So we're talking about 10,000 or 2,000 new data points to this things I got to check. What kind
Yep.
of this? What kind of that? What kind of windows? What kind of that? And all that takes time. And if there's unknowns, then we have to. Well, does that impact value? Or, it's just going to slow the whole process down. If we can have a little form that has everything on it, then it'll be easy. We just check it off, move on to the next one, and it'll be like it is today. But th it's th there's a ton. I mean, there's really a ton of stuff that's going to be out there. And I have a list somewhere I'd be happy to share with you at some point, but it's going to be a lot of minutia. But the big ones are going to be stuff like I'm now going to need to know that I can't say a house is average quality house in average condition. I have to break down, is the kitchen new? Is the kitchen average? Is it good? Is it C1? Is it C5? All that stuff. And I'm going to need to know the year and dates and the extent of the remodel in the kitchen. Was it countertops? See what happens in the terms of in the disconnect between what you do, which is to get as much money for a house as you can, and what I do is tell you what most people would pay for a house, is that your job is to market the house.
That's right.
And when you market the house, there's certain things that you say about it. Like, for instance, totally remodeled. But totally remodeled to a real estate agent is not totally remodeled to Fannie Mae. $2 a square foot LVP and laminate countertops in the kitchen is not a total renovation. How old is the HVAC? How old is the roof? How old are the mechanical systems? Does it still have old piping in it? All those other things to the components of the house. We use the term effective age, that actually equals the effective age of the house, or our opinion of the effective age of the house. So all the little nuances of that quote unquote totally updated need to be a little bit picked apart. So that I can, but here's the good thing about that is now I can make an adjustment for condition based on only the kitchen rather than an aggregate house, what we pretty much have to do now, or the fact that one house has crown molding and a trim package and another doesn't, or something like that. Whereas in the past, we'd have to do it in a macro environment. We'd have to say, okay, the quality is 2% better of this house because it has this. Whereas in this, we can break it down and say, well, the kitchen's better. Therefore, the contributory value of the kitchen's $10,000 more than that house.
Sure.
Something to that. So those are things that are going to be really pertinent at the front. Is it been encapsulated? Is there, all those other, just everything you can ever manage about anything that would mean anything to the effective age of the house.
So you had said that these things aren't going to change the values, but are there not going to be adjustments on the basis of all these different things? So
Yeah, but
and
now we
just
can pick them apart.
the well and if I could back up for a second, because I don't want to get too inside baseball on here for those that might not know, but when because people don't typically read those appraisal reports, right? So on an appraisal report, let's say that a house has been updated. Whatever that means. Let's say it's been updated top to bottom. Everything's been updated in some way, shape, or form, and there's no comps that compare that have been fully updated in that same way. You're going to make adjustments. You're going to say, well, on the basis of that, we're going to add value to these comps in order to basically account for that they haven't been updated, and then eventually all the comps have a higher value, which then you use to determine the valuation for the subject property. So what I'm wondering is an encapsulation now, is that something that you're going to be have to look at every single other one of these comps to see if they have an encapsulation and then make an adjustment based on that?
Absolutely, but what's going to happen is going to be more nuanced. So, in the past, let's say you have. First of all, let me correct you a little bit, or not correct you, but
Make it more precise for the
Move your
listeners.
eyes away from the conception is that there's never not a comp. So just because you say there's no comps that aren't updated, you have to have a basis to
Sure.
make an adjustment. So you have to find one that has similar updating, even if it's further away or in a slightly different market or something like that. But each thing that adds value, contributory value to a house, has to have some kind of data, supportable data, to make an adjustment on. That's why, for instance, I don't make adjustments for like things like fences a lot, because of a $500,000 transaction, if it adds $2,000 of value to the property, is that even, can you even be that good at your job to say that's true? So what's going to happen in what you're talking about is, in the past, I had three comps and they were 400, 410, and 415. Okay. And the 415 was totally updated. The 410 was a little bit updated, or the 400 was a little bit updated, and the 410 was in the middle. And you can say, okay, well, mine's kind of more like 410. It's not totally updated, so I'm going to make a $10,000 adjustment for condition. Now I'll be able to further pinpoint that and say, well, everything was the same, except this one did have encapsulation and the kitchen was a little better. So now I can pick a point those dot those the individual items a little bit better, because now I have individual data on all those items to find exactly what the contributory factor is, rather than just saying, I don't know, that one was nicer all over, and that's what the adjustment is. Now I can say, well, maybe it was as good, but the kitchen wasn't as good, and the kitchen is the one that's gonna is the condition of the property that's gonna be adjusted for. But in the end, you have to have data. And the truth is about things like, let's say, an encapsulated area, or whatever my big example always is plantation shutters. Like, yeah, they cost a lot of money, but you can't tell me that a buyer is ever gonna walk into a house that doesn't have them, and then walk into a house next door that has them and say, I'll pay an extra $15,000 for that house because it has plantation shutters. And that, in essence, is how we is that's how we figure out what things are worth, is what the difference that the market bears on how much more somebody would pay for something.
That's right.
And if it's not provable, guess what? I can't make an
You
adjustment.
don't get value for it, yeah.
You don't, you, it's not that you don't get value, because there's this term that we use, value. Do we get value for it? Well, the value means money, and when we talk about, you don't necessarily increase the sales price, but you increase the marketability sometimes. And when you increase the marketability, it might sell faster. It might get picked over another one. I can't say, for instance, that it gives you an extra 5 grand, but I'll
Right.
say, if you have really nice landscaping, or if you have plantation shutters, most people would pick it first, or most people would pick it above another one. But
That's
I can't
right.
tell you it's worth any more dollars, because there's no data. Real estate, in any given situation, it's a fluid living being. And in reality, what happens is, it's this perfect marriage of two people at this particular point in time. And that's what happens with, you have a guy looking for that house at that time for that much money. And if you wait a week, that might change. And if you wait 3 weeks, it might change. You might find somebody else that's willing to pay more for that house. So to try to figure it out is, unless you're the most, great and powerful Oz and have all the answers to everything, it's too fluid. There's too much subjectivity to real estate. That's why, like, my job is like 90% math, 10% like subjectivity. You can't pinpoint it. You can't figure. There's so many. What do you have in a house? Like, floor plan. Like, I even told about, what does the house smell like? What kind of paint did they choose? What kind of, I mean, there's so many things that go into it.
Yep.
You know how you get a really crappy appraisal? As if that value is $421,650. Nobody's that good. Show me the math. Show me the proof. Nobody's that good.
Yeah.
I usually round to $5,000, because that's as good as you could possibly be in this business.
Sure.
Now, I mean, that's pretty good, by the way. 1% is pretty good. You know what I'm saying? 1% error is pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
So, anyway, I took a left turn there. ADD hit
No,
me.
you're fine. Well,
To answer your question, all that stuff is going to be further analyzed, and when we do regression on individual things, we'll be able to pinpoint exactly, well, not exactly, but pinpoint further how much the contributory value of things are.
sounds
And
like
most
you're,
of the time, it
sounds like
might be
it's going to
nothing.
take time for all of that data to be out there. Like you're like an encapsulation, not very many homes in Greenville are encapsulated, for instance, in the crawl space. And then we've got all these slab homes being built that where that doesn't even apply. And so I would imagine it might be years before you can even find a trend related to
And if
that.
you do find a trend, it might be zero.
Sure.
I mean,
Well, a
I'm
lot of people don't
arguing
even
with.
look in the crawl space until inspections.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But like, I have arguments with builders all the time. They're like, cost doesn't equal value in my world. It
Yeah.
doesn't. So it, just because it costs you an extra $20,000 to build a slat or a crawl space home doesn't mean that's what it's worth in the open market. It's just built on the overall sales price of the house.
Right.
So it's not the fact that it costs more is not why the house is worth more. The house is worth more because people's perceived value of that house might be higher and they're going to pay that for it. It's not, and if it doesn't, then if it costs 20 grand more and there's a slab house next to it, guess what? If that slab house is $20,000 less, I guarantee, and it's identical in every other way, I guarantee they'll pick the slab house 99% of the time because it's the same house that's $20,000 less.
Yep.
So it's just
Oh,
by,
yeah, absolutely.
yeah. So that part of it, that part of it's never going to change. But that's the valuation side. The main focus on this, like I said, the timing. What's going to require real estate agents to do is gather more information for us. Another thing we're going to need more on is HOA information. How much does HOA dues? What does it encompass? Is it exterior maintenance? Is it lawn maintenance? What kind of amenities do the HOAs have? That will just help the process move faster. Because if it's not in the listing, I'll have to go look for it, and that takes time. The report's going to look totally different. I don't know how many pages, but they're, well, first of all, there's not even going to be in a report anymore. The PDFs are going to be generated by Fannie Mae. So when I get done with a report, it'll be in a online cloud situation. And then I get done, I hit submit, it goes to Fannie Mae. I don't even have a printed version of it. I can't forward a
Interesting.
printed version to anybody. I can't forward a version to anybody other than the lender. And then they do what they're going to do with it, and they send it out to whomever needs it.
How long is that
The
process going to take?
Oops, who knows?
Okay, they haven't, I mean, I know that what they say doesn't necessarily matter, but I didn't know if they had issued any guidance on that or anything.
Well, unfortunately, they've adopted the theory that this is what you're doing, figure it out. And the ripple effect has not been analyzed by many people at this
Yeah.
point. Like you said, there's people in high positions of power, authority, and knowledge that have no idea this is even happening. And they're going to be completely in the front yard with their pants hanging.
Well, I'm at least grateful that they're doing this in November and not in like April or March or
Yeah, I think that was blind luck, to be honest with you.
oh,
But
I'm sure it was.
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. The other thing you have to understand too, if you're like, hey, Chris, I'm having a hard time with this house. I need you to help me price it. Or if I have a client that has a probate issue, it's still going to be on the old forms. So those aren't going away either. But for any lending purposes, this is going to be the way it's going to look. Just understand you might get some orders in from now. They are out there, but November is the hard date on it.
Do you think that lenders that do just shelf type loans, loans that are, not going to be conventional FHA, whatever, that they're gonna keep within their bank? Do you think that they're going to require 3.6, or do you think they're going to stick with the old one?
I think they'll stick with the old ones unless a significant portion of their business is also Fannie Mae work and they have to integrate all their other stuff into it as well. Because you might as well do everything one way, you know what I mean? If they're doing all in-house stuff, then they probably won't change. If they're doing 90% Fannie Mae and then they keep some stuff, they probably will change. I think their in-house stuff will still stay on an old form though. That's my initial thought. Just for ease of translation to their
Yeah.
people. And the
Yep.
lack of technology. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I think I heard from a lender friend of mine that said, like, Fannie Mae's goal on this is that the report's turned in, and the first thing it does is go to their AI underwriting, like literally within seconds, and then it gets
Interesting.
underwritten right there, then and there, and then it goes to an actual underwriter. So they're nitpicking all the minutiae, the data right off the top, just to see if it's consistent. The other thing that's going to suck is that, like, if I call something one thing and another appraiser calls it something else, there's going to be a flag in the system, and then we're going to have to kind of rectify that. So if you had 10 people call it C3 and I call it C4, it's going to cause a lag because I have to explain why I think it's C4, and that's a part of the subjectivity of it too.
Yeah.
Still going to be a lot of that. That's not changing from what it is right now. I mean,
Right.
it's still the same way right now. It's supposedly going to make it better, and I
But
agree with.
it, Is anything changing with regard to, because I've talked about this a good bit on the show. In fact, I think I talked about this with you last time you were on here, but with regard to basements and how basement square footage is handled and all of that, I know that, one thing a lot of realtors and the general public doesn't realize is the definition of below grade is like insanely strict, I guess.
I'll tell it to you. So in 2022, we finally, Fannie Mae said that we're going to have one way of measuring houses, and they instituted the ANSI way of measuring houses, and that's what we're supposed to adhere to. And ANSI's definition of a basement is this: if 1 inch of one wall is below grade, you have yourself a basement. Well, what the whole thing, not a portion of it. If 1 inch of one wall of the four walls, or more than four walls in some cases, if any of those is below grade 1 inch, you have the whole place has to be valued as basement. Now, here's the misconception with that, is that basement space is valued any differently than above grade space, because there's some instances that's true and there's some instances it's not true. Somewhere in the Greenville market, and maybe nationwide, I don't know, somebody told you, Stan, that basements are valued at 50% of the above grade square footage. It's not true. It's never
Multiple
true.
appraisers have told me that.
It's not true. Tell me their names. I'll wrestle them. I'll fight them. Now, if you did a bar,
I'm not gonna put them on blast on this show, but I could.
if you did a bar graph on it, and you did the data from the last 10 years of the appraisals I did, maybe it is around 50% of above grade square footage. Maybe it is, by pure happenstance. But you go up to the Cliffs of Glassy and you have houses that are 2,000 square feet above grade per ANSI standards and 5,000 square foot below grade per, they're built in a mountain. You can't tell me that basement space is worth 50% of the
No,
above
no
grade
way.
square footage. You go to Augusta Road and you go to a basement down there and there's dead bodies, running water, Freddy Krueger, and you can't tell me that those basements are worth 50% of the above grade square footage. They're not. They're borderline hazardous. So you just have to do the work on it. And here's the other thing to remember about that.
My issue with that, with the blanket. With the times I've had appraisers just use a blanket rule and tell me that they have reasons for just using a blanket rule for basements, is that what you just described, at least to me, to my realtor ears, is you just described condition. Like if that were the second floor and there's a dead body and mold and water coming in on the second floor of the home, that affects the value of the home just as much as if it's below grade, And so that's my take on that.
You're 100% right. I mean, just because it's a basement doesn't mean it's worth less. You have to do, to me, it's lazy. That's it. To say it's 50% is lazy because you have to do the work on it.
Well, I was also
It
told that it's cheaper to build a basement home than it is to build a second story to a house. And I have asked a lot of contractors that question, and every one of them has been like, no way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think so. But look,
That
look,
shouldn't matter, though, either way.
look. To me, value is value. What we do is analyze trends, analyze market, and that's what you should do as an appraiser. That's how it should be done. What is the market doing? What does the market tell you about what that particular feature does? Whether it's a basement, a pool, or ADU, or whatever. But have you ever worked in Westwood? Okay, so Westwood's a community, for you people that don't know, that's in Simpsonville. It was built in the mid 1970s, started. It was one of the best places to live in Simpsonville at the time.
It wasn't
And
really interesting.
it was like the first up and coming Simpsonville. Back then it was Cowland, and then they built a subdivision down there. So when Westwood was first constructed, it was in the mid 1970s, and one of the big ways to build houses that were in effect or effectively and cheaply is do split level homes down there, because of the topography and stuff like that. And virtually, I would say 50% of the houses in Westwood are split level houses. I know streets you can go down in Westwood right now, and side by side, there's model match, model match, model match. Okay, they flipped them or whatever, but house A will have zero square footage above grade or below grade. All of it is on a raised slab just because of the topo. The next house might have 1 inch of one wall. The next house, all same models, might have 50% of the basements underground. You can't look at me as an appraiser and look me in the eye and say that the last one is 50% of the above grade square footage. Because if you do, I'm calling bullcrap on you. It's not true. You have to do the work on it. Those are in the perception of the market, in the perception of a buyer, those are the same houses.
That's right.
That's how it should be valued. I don't mean to get on a high horse, but when I hear things like that, it really irks me because it means you're not doing your job properly. If you say, if you make statements to the public to say, well, it's generally 50%, it maybe, maybe not, but that leads to a misconception and it leads to people believing that's truth because people just hear what you say is how they think they want to hear it. And when you tell a real estate agent what's this worth, and you say 50% of the top, that's what they're going to forever and here on out, that's what they're going to remember. So I'm here to tell you that's not true.
Yeah, well,
Not
and
true.
I think it's not the first time that you've come on here and said, I believe your last time you said that too. And yeah, but I was just curious if UAD 3.6 changed anything with regard to that. It sounds like really not a whole
No,
lot.
that's part of the valuation process. What will change a little bit is the way the report's going to look on it, and it should be a little clearer on what's above grade and below grade. That's like
Okay.
the number when I do like private work with a basement. That's the number one thing. The first phone call, as soon as I send it over to the client, the first phone call, he says, "Hey, you said I had four bed, or you said I had three bedrooms, and I have four bedrooms. I have one in the basement." I'm like, "I know. Look at the line below it. It says below grade square footage, and it says how many rooms are down there. And I know it looks nothing like the rest of the report, but that's where it's in. And you add those two together, it's the same, you know." But people don't. I mean, how many times do people buy and sell in a house if they do it a lot? Three in their life, four, you know, not a lot. My parents did it twice in their lifetime. So they don't look at most of the time when I do that kind of work too. I mean, I don't talk to anybody or I don't meet anybody. So they don't even know who an appraiser is. They just say, oh, it's a piece of paper some guy signed and he says it's worth this. Cool. I mean, we don't get interactions and we don't get to learn about it. We just, whatever we learn on TV or the internet is what we know about it. And you know, God, if you think it's like people say Zillow, the first thing they say out of their word Zillow, when I'm talking to them about valuation, I'm like, that's like going to WebMD and saying, I got a headache. You can have cancer or you can have a migraine. I don't know
Yeah.
what it is, but it's taking
You're just dehydrated. You just need a little more water. Or you have cancer. It's one or the
Yeah,
other.
exactly. But it's the same thing with Zillow. It's like, it's an algorithm. And what Zillow is what is Zillow? Is it a real estate valuation site? Zillow is not. What it is a marketing site.
Yeah.
They sell ads. They
That's
sell
right.
ads, and the vehicle to those ads is real estate valuation. But it's wrong. It's not right. Sometimes they're right, but so is a blind squirrel every once in a while. So is a broken clock twice a day,
I
right?
get yeah, we have that at the office. I see that every now and then. Every now and then I'm there when it's right. Yeah, I get clients sometimes that will ask me, they'll be like, as soon as I list their home, all of a sudden their Zestimate changes based on the price we listed it for, and they're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? And it's like,
Yeah.
now you know the dirty secret behind this estimate.
Well, the dirty secret is they don't want to get sued anymore for having it wrong, is what
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of politics when it comes to that. What about, and this is, I don't know how many, anyone listening up to this point is invested in whatever we're talking about. This one's more for me. ADUs. So currently in Greenville and Spartanburg MLS, I can't remember about Western Upstate. We don't have a great way of incorporating ADUs into a listing. For instance, there's not clearly like you basically have to include them into the total square footage of the actual home. Talk about that. Is that going to be a problem? Is that something that MLSs are going to have to change?
That was like discussion one with the MLS board. So yeah, right now it's handled the same way as a porch is. You know what I mean? It's like a checkbox somewhere and there's no additional information. In
That's right.
some cases you could have ADUs worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know there's a
Yeah.
builder in Greenville who's building $1 million houses and he's building a two-car garage next to them with about 400 square foot of living space. And then I did a review on one that had the ADU as a contributory value of $40,000. And I'm like, I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
You know, so it's something that we address with them, and it's something that they're supposed to be handling on a it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be a whole nother section on both of them, and it's going to have it'll be just a whole nother section under that. It's going to have areas that we can put in information. I know it's more work on the entry level, but we're going to have, you know, what kind of flooring does it have? What kind of heating system does it
Well,
have? Is
there's
it
not that many homes in Greenville with ADUs.
They're starting to be a lot more because people are built, because of the affordability, people are starting to build them. And then, if it's legally permissible right now, and by the way, that's a whole nother, remind me what I just said if we get off topic about
Okay.
legally permissible. But like, if they're legally permissible, people are starting to do them to have their parents live with them, to have their kids live with them. My daughter just bought her first house. She's 20, right? Right before we found her this house, the conversation before that was I was going to build a two-car garage with living space on it on my property because I could do that for $100,000
Sure.
rather than find her a house for $300,000.
Yep.
So that's a something that moving forward, you might not see a bunch of them right now, but I think it's going to increase. As not only that, where is the available property right now to build in Greenville and Spartanburg Copper? It's not in the cities, it's in the more rural areas, which has no zoning restrictions. So the family compound thing is a real thing, and it's happening more frequently than you
Yeah.
think. And it's
Well,
a
I will say Greenville County has not been super favorable towards ADUs.
not
If
in
you're
town, yeah, or not in,
I, no, I'm saying the county, not the city. The county specific the county currently requires a breezeway attached between a true ADU. Now there are workarounds for it, which I won't get into. If you want to know the workaround, reach out to me after whoever's listening. There are workarounds, but yeah, I mean, it is an affordability issue. They're taking off in California and New York and these unaffordable states. So I do think it's a matter of time here, only a matter of time before they become super popular for multi-generational purposes and whatnot. But
Well, income producing also.
yeah, absolutely.
I
And
mean,
oh, and I was going to ask you about that. Is there anything changing on this form with regard to how that's calculated in
not
income
to my
coming in?
knowledge. Not to
Okay.
my knowledge. It's so how this form is going to work is like as you if anyone's ever done TurboTax, it's going to be kind of like that. So like you'll say, okay, this is my property, and then the next question is a single family? Is it a has an ADU? And as you check these things, it opens up certain other questions to the thing. So when you get to the end, it's all kind of self-populated.
Gotcha.
So there's no skipping anything or whatever. It just is kind of self-guided as far as like is that. So my understanding is when you get to the point where it says, is there an ADU, and then is it rentable or does it share this, and you hit it, and then is this an income producing property, whatever, then there's just different check boxes that are going to bring you down that path. So I don't think it's going to, in my I think it's going to get a lot better, actually. I think overall it's going to be a lot better for everybody, including appraisers. We're going to need a little bit of time,
For sure.
to kind of sort through the mess. It's the whole 10,000 hour rule. You can't, as much knowledge as you have on a subject, you don't become an expert in it until you acquire a certain amount of experience. And when you the only there's no way to train for experience. And that's going to be this. We're going to make mistakes. It's going to be confusing, and it's going to be confusing for underwriters. It's going to be confusing for lenders. It's going to be confusing for agents. It's going to be confusing for customers. But this is something we're going to have to do, and it's going to at the end of the day, it's going to be good. I think it's going
Are you
to be good.
expecting that people are gonna automatically jump to asking for value reconsiderations? Do you think that there's gonna be an uptick in that?
I haven't thought about that. Maybe, possibly, might be.
I could see that happening,
I
particularly
can
as
see that
people
happening.
get adjusted to
How it
trying to
looks.
read it. Yep.
Yeah. Although the other thing is, just to prepare, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I'm not doing these for the same amount of money as I'm doing the old ones. The industry standard right now is not that there's a standard, but the industry thought is it's going to be 50% more than what we're charging for commercial.
Wow.
So,
Interesting.
yeah.
Okay.
And the reason is just a business decision. It's like I can do two of those. It's like when people say, "Hey, can you do this strange property for me?" And I'm like, "Well, what's strange about it?" "Well, it's on a lake. It's built in 1800s." And I'm like, "Sure, but it's going to take me twice the amount of time to do a regular appraisal, so it's twice as expensive."
Yep.
It's just a business decision. I can do two new constructions for $500, or do yours, and it's going to take me twice as long, so it's going to be $1,000. So I mean,
Right.
it's just a business decision. It's kind of the same thing with these. You're going to go through your thing and say, "I could take one UAD 3.6, or two of these." It's going to be the same thing. Right now, a good appraiser and a 2,500 square foot two story house, I'll spend 15 to 25 minutes in that house. That's inspection wise. That has nothing to do with valuation. Just
Right.
talking about inspection and then report writing maybe another hour. They're saying that most people are doing this now are spending between an hour and a half and 2 hours in the property and another hour and an hour and a half to do the report. So you're talking about doubling the time to do it. Now, and here's the other thing, the software sucks. Right now we can, there's shortcuts, there's common responses, there's cloning, there's drop-down menus. Each one of these, if they're going to continue to do it the way they're doing it, like I told you, is going to be independent and have its own life, which means there's going to be none of that. So you got to start from scratch in every single one of them. So the time, and I'm sure as the software gets better, it'll be easier to do this. But when we're starting out right now, there's none of that. So there's, it's going to be very, very time consuming on an appraiser
No
standpoint.
doubt. All right, couple more things. So you had mentioned right at the beginning, and this was something that I hadn't heard up to this point, is that it's not going to be required for FHA and VAs. Is that going to be, do you think some specific lenders will require it?
Well,
Even though.
if they're doing an FHA product, FHA probably won't accept it to start with.
Okay. So right now they're just not accepting it.
Well, I don't know if any have been ordered that way. So if you're doing an FHA, and I'm not a lender, so I don't know exactly how that whole process works.
Sure.
But what I think happens is you're like, I'm going to order an appraisal. Well, is it conventional or is it FHA? And if it's FHA, it's ordered as a 2.6. I think that's how it's going to happen
Okay.
to the appraisal side. So, but if anything that's happened that Fannie Mae's done, FHA has done too. It just usually it's 6 months later
Okay.
or whatever it is.
Yeah, so this is we've got a little bit of a honeymoon here.
Yeah, and that's typical of any change that's ever come down the pipe, honestly. It's like Fannie Mae decides to do something, they tell FHA, and then FHA's, yeah, sure, that sounds good. They all want to be on the same page inevitably too.
Right, for sure, for sure. So you told me to write down legally permissible, and I don't know why, but I wrote it down.
Awesome, thank you. So one of the big things that we've been told is that the one of the big changes is there's going to be a super hyper focus on if things have been done right, permitted right. And our directive so far is that if you have an unpermitted addition that can't be verified, that it's not going to be able to be included at all.
Oh, okay.
And how you're going to verify that, I don't know.
So specifically an addition.
Well, anything. Let's like for instance, take a two-car garage that you put out there, or something. Anything that has contributory value. If it has contributory value, the site. First of all, in order to have contributory value, it has to be real property. So if you're talking about something that's not real property, it's irrelevant anyway. And typically, you don't need a permit for that anyway. But my takeaway is like if you're talking about maybe you enclose the porch or something. I don't know if that has a bearing on the contributory value of a property or not. Now, if you converted it into living space and it was unpermitted, like you did foundation work, put an HVAC in, and it's not permitted, then Fannie Mae's directive is you cannot include it in the overall GLA of the house.
Okay.
But, again, I don't know how all that, I mean, some in Spartanburg County, they don't really require permits sometimes for certain things, and I don't know how you're going to track it. I mean, there's a website you can go to, but what if the last time the house went was, what if it was done in 2004?
Yeah,
Or,
that's what I was going to ask you is
mean, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be interesting on my perspective to see how that part of it shakes out. But moving forward, if you've
I mean,
got a
we've
client.
got some of these mill homes in, Dunedin and whatnot that have been added onto five different times. Like,
Yeah, sometimes on the top.
yeah, the top, the back. I mean, a lot of them didn't have bathrooms.
None of them had bathrooms when they were built.
They added on those bathrooms. So what are we going to go back and look 50 years ago if they pulled a permit to add a bath? Like, so where
But
does that end?
there's no way to verify that. I think it's specifically for stuff that's been done
In recent years.
recently or in the, so the takeaway I think on that is like if you have a client that had bought a property in 2026. And then in 2027, he added 400 square feet. Make sure that it's permitted. And make sure when you take the listing that you're looking for that permit. Make sure that you're just for valuation side. Because if it's not there, you might run into some problems on the appraisal side. If it's a house in Judson that had a bathroom built in 1962, I don't think that's what we're looking for. That's what they're
Sure.
looking for right now. That they're
So
looking
you would need to actually have a copy of the permits
for.
somehow.
Well, I don't need a copy of the permits, but I need some verification that a permit was pulled. There's websites that do it. Like part of our appraisal software now has a button that you click and it shows you the permits that are pulled for that property.
Gotcha.
So it's not that hard to check for newer stuff. And the stuff that's older is almost impossible. So I don't know how you would do that too, unless you have specific knowledge that it was not permitted, and then it's a material fact that that you
Sure.
walk into a listing and you're just like, well, my uncle Fred built this. Shut up! Shut up!
Don't need to hear it. Oh gosh. I sold a house a few years ago to a client that a buyer client that I when I looked up in public records, I actually knew the builder and did not have a lot of respect for this guy. And I let him know that right away. This is like a mom and pop builder who hasn't built for probably 30 years, but he had built this home, way back in the day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know that name. And I don't know that you want to buy this house, but my client was also a builder and he felt comfortable with it. But yeah, I can assure you there were some permits that were not pulled when that house was done in some way originally by that builder. All right. We need to wrap this up, but I want to make sure, Chris, was there anything that you wanted to hit on or that popped into your head that we didn't touch on?
Well, just a couple, just like bullet points about what this means, business wise, for you guys, just know that, appraisals are going to look different. They're going to take more time at first.
And going to be more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive. And when you're taking listings, if you can get more information about permits and HOAs and stuff on the front end, that's going to be really, really helpful. For appraisers, this is going to be a learning curve, so bear with us for a little bit. It's going to be, it's going to end up looking like a better report. It's going to be easier to read. For consumers, the big takeaway is it's going to be a pretty standardized form, no matter what kind of loan you get, whether it's a condo or whatever, or income producing. They can review their goal is to review more efficiently, so they can get faster turn times when we get good at it, so they can make lending decisions easier. The delays I thought won't be long term, but they will be there at the front. The report should be easy to read, and it's going to be more accurate because you're going to have better information in it, and you're going to know the things that really contribute to the value of the property. We're going to be able to pinpoint better. But it's not going to affect anybody to the point where it's going to change the way you do business. It's going to be a little bit more work, and we'll be in tune to it. It may hold up some closings, but it's not going to be deal busting things unless you have issues like permits. I don't know about you, but if you're probably listening to this podcast, you're probably not in the class that isn't on the top end of your industry. You know what I mean? But there's people out there that take listings that really shouldn't be selling real estate. I mean, just didn't know the basic, and then I had
No
my
comment on that one.
I mean, it's like any industry at all, but people that are proactive, this will be a bump in the road. People that don't know about it, you could lose a deal. So know about it, be on the front end of it, you won't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's something that for the general public, that when they're interviewing realtors, they might want to ask them, are you
Yeah, what do you know about it?
familiar on some level with the appraisal changes that are happening? Are you making any changes? I have already started, so I just had a listing that went live this past weekend that was renovated. And I oftentimes do this, but sometimes it's hard to get from clients from one reason or another. And this one wasn't the easiest to get, but I was like, I want a detailed list of everything was done. And now what I learned from this conversation is that there also needs to be years on there as well for things that were done maybe a couple of years ago, which oftentimes people will include that into their when they're saying that they remodeled their home,
Right, exactly.
the AC they've replaced 2 years ago as part of that remodel.
Hey, Stan, I had one. This is a guy's on the street 2 weeks ago. It said totally remodeled. This is in the advertising that I was totally remodeled in 2012.
Whoa, I didn't realize that Zoom would like move the camera like that. That was weird. That's hilarious though. I mean, yeah, 14 years ago, surely nothing changes in 14 years, right? That's funny. So
So, but
the question was it a what kind of roof did they put on it? Is it the roof that is 15 to 20 years rated or 25 to 30 years,
well,
you
that's
know?
actually it's one of the things we have to put on there. Is it composite shingles, three tab? It's one of the things we'll have to look at for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of minutia, but I mean, we'll get good at that part. It's not that hard, you
For
know.
sure.
But the more information we have on the front end is going to be better off we are in moving quickly, you know. This is a fast-paced real estate environment. You got to get stuff done.
We're
So,
gonna all have to figure this out very fast,
yeah.
because yeah, people are still gonna be buying and selling homes. They're not gonna be waiting for 3 months for us all to figure this out.
100%. Not only that, it will cost the money if it does.
That's right.
Cost everybody money. No, nobody's happy when that happens.
No,
And I don't know
absolutely.
if people are aware, but most real estate agents don't get paid until it closes. So
That's
it's integral
right.
that you get closed.
Yep. Yeah, and maybe that's enough motivation for realtors to do what they need to do, and you know, to get that information.
Yeah.
My hunch is not, because I see emails all the time going out from the assistants at my office saying, telling people to submit their closing paperwork so that they can get paid. I'm just like, I don't understand why you would have gone through that entire process and get a client closed and then not submit the final paperwork, which isn't that much. It's just a HUD and maybe a scan of a check that you got. Like, it takes 2 seconds, but
Hey, I ran a brokerage and I had agents and I quit because I couldn't figure that out. So yeah, it was like I had enough of it myself. But
can
yeah,
imagine.
it was the cream always rises though. I mean, the people
Sure.
that are going to be, no matter what happens, I mean, people are buying houses in 2008 too. You know, there was agents in 2008. There's going to be agents from here and out. And people, like you said, are going to be buying and selling real estate. And I look at this as an opportunity as an appraiser, as a real estate agent, as a lender to be on the front end of stuff so you can be a guru on it, so you can educate people on it.
For
And
sure.
the thing that happens when you do these kinds of things and you get out in front of things is people notice you. And when people notice that you're proactive on things that mean something, they're more likely to trust you with, I mean, that it's the biggest financial decision that most people will ever make in their life. And the fiduciary duty there is great. And I
Absolutely.
think we miss that sometimes, even from my angle, you know, you miss that. There are real people involved in these transactions, and it's important. It's an important decision for them. So do
Absolutely.
your best job, you know?
Yep. And I don't think we could end on a better note than that. So
Yeah.
yeah, Chris, thank you so much for your time and for all of those details and all of that. If anyone needs you, obviously lenders are the ones reaching out to you for bank appraisals, but if anyone needs you for home measurements or for pre-listing appraisals or anything like that, where should they find you?
www.scappraisers.com. And my name of my company is Carolina Appraisal Partners. And I am the only person there, so I am the partner. One
All right, there we go. One partner to rule them all.
partner, that's right. That's an uphill battle right there. But yeah.
And I'll put Chris's information in
Thanks,
the
man. I
show notes
appreciate
as
it.
well, along with my own. So,
I enjoyed it, my friend. I want to be the first three-time guest, though.
ooh. Well, we'll have to let this one breathe, and we'll see
Okay.
how we'll see
All
what
right.
changes. Maybe we'll review UAD 3.6 once you've got, you know,
We
a
can
little
just
bit
talk
more
about football
experience.
or something. I just want to be.
You just want to come on the show to just talk
I just
about
want.
whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I've had some people on here before for I've had someone on here for a roast one time where we roasted someone on Facebook. I had another guy we just talked about just random stuff. So yeah, we'll have to do that.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Well, that was Chris White, everyone. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Again, his contact information as well as mine will be in the show notes. Please like, rate, review, subscribe. And I'll talk to you guys again next time.